in Noah, we were struck by the idea of the grace that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and he was able to be a preacher of righteousness who lived uprightly in all his generations. One who walked with God and was marked by an obedience to the things that were, Scripture tells us, the things that he had not yet seen. We looked at Daniel, and we didn't get an opportunity to look at the thought of Daniel as a man of praise, but it's good that you read that section there in Daniel, just to round out the thoughts of how Daniel, in recognizing the sovereign activity of God, he blesses that same God and attributes to him wisdom and honor and praise. He raises his own consciousness to see God's own activity and movement in ruling and overruling in the affairs of men. When we come to the Job, one of the things that I thought that we might want to consider this afternoon is in prosperity and adversity. And it's really, and it's, I didn't think of this when we started or when I was thinking about the subject. I didn't really think about the whole line of the sovereignty of God, but in each of these passages, we get this sense of the sovereign activity of God in his interaction and actions with these men. We'll see that in the lives of Job. What we want to really emphasize and think about is, in the prosperity, what was Job's disposition? And then in adversity, what was his disposition? So we'll read those passages. Just one correction, it's verse 21 and 22, not 22 and 23. Because if you keep looking, you won't find it.
This was good. Okay, Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one who that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
God commends Job. And we want to look in the last session today about adversity or prosperity and finding Job's conduct when things were going well. And then we want to look at Job's conduct when things didn't go so well. And what we find in the life of Job, and it brings us back to the same thought that the Spirit of God seems to be a reoccurring theme, is that Job really acknowledges the sovereign God who is and who rules over all things. And his faith is affirmed. His whole conduct is a function of that relationship. How be it, and I know for a Bible student, we'll say Job was still lacking at this point in his full appreciation of who God is. And part of the journey in this book is so that he comes to that fuller appreciation of who God is. But up to the level that the measure of life that he had, he functioned a certain way in prosperity. I think of the proverb where it talks about not giving me prosperity lest I forget God, or giving me adversity that I go out and do something to dishonor God. And what we want to understand and really capture this afternoon is the reality that the Christian walk is, and the path of faith is really independent of whether we have money in our bank accounts or no money in our bank accounts. It's really about my submission to the sovereign will of God and my faithful walk in response to all that He is and how He has revealed Himself to me. Just one other point as a background. And sometimes the circumstance, God is doing something that we have no clue about. Job had no clue about what's going on behind the scenes. And so that's why it's so important for us to really know, as we said in Daniel, the God of heaven, that He rules and overrules, and He's in control of every circumstance, even though it may not be manifest to me as to what or why. Job is a real good picture to us, a real good example to us about how we have to conduct ourselves in prosperity as well as in adversity. Yet one of the emphases I also want to talk about, perhaps just we touched a little bit earlier, and that is on the family. We find Job acting as an intercessor. And I want to spend a little time on that as well.
Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rules of the darkness of this present world, against wickedness in high places. And I don't think that Job had the book of Ephesians to refer to. Therefore, he could not perhaps understand, as you said, those things that were going on behind the scenes. And yet they still went on. And things go on behind the scenes with us as well. And that boss, that teacher, that fellow student, that fellow worker, that client, whoever it might be, on whatever day it might be, that the Lord realizes or recognizes that in His purposes that we need some maybe chastening or some adjustment. Why am I having a difficult time today? Well, maybe you need a difficult time today. And it may not be the life-shattering events in Job's life. Very few of us necessarily go through that kind of tremendous time. He loses his entire family. How traumatic that was. His entire business, his entire family. But the day-to-day things, I think, most of us deal with. And why this day? Why that day? Why this circumstance? Why the loss of job? And so forth, or whatever it might be. There are reasons for them. Some directed by God, some permitted by God, but in terms of dealing with individuals that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, there are forces behind these events. Mm-hmm. And many of them are angelic, or perhaps rather not angelic, but demonic, that are behind these people that are giving us a hard time. And God allows that to be, so that we might be tested, tried, improved, whatever the case may be. So I mentioned Ephesians as an example of the fact that there are things in our lives and there are things behind this circumstance that we see with our physical eyes.